Hallelujah. God is a good God. God is a good God. This morning, I am privileged to be able to share with you this morning. I want to greet our pastors, Pastor Henry, Pastor Fiani and their wives. I want to greet all our membership, all our visitors. This morning, and welcome to our women's service. This morning, I'm privileged to be sharing this morning, because this morning is our Women's Sunday, and this morning I'm going to talk about the woman in our company, and I'm going to talk about the woman as far as the resurrection is concerned. But one of my favorite hymns says, which is Charles Wesley said, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joy and triumph high. Hallelujah. Sing ye heaven's hurt, reply. Hallelujah. Live again, our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Once he died our souls to save. Hallelujah. Where thy victory, O grave? Hallelujah. Love redeeming work is done. Hallelujah. Yes. For the fight, the battle won. Death in vain forbids his rise. Christ has opened paradise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah this morning. So this morning I want to share a little with you from our resurrection story. And as the scripture as read before, Matthew 28 verses 1 to 10. And if you want a topic, my little topic is from fear to courage to reaffirm. From fear to courage to reaffirm.
Yes.
So let me give you a little background as far as the women in the resurrection story is concerned. So from the very start, which is the birth of Jesus, the ministry, the death and resurrection of Jesus, women were significantly involved. So the woman journeyed with Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. They were there all the way. They were very loyal to Jesus. They, as a matter of fact, they were never afraid to be seen with him, right? Yes. While the disciples had to be hiding here and there because they were going to, you know, lock them up or persecute them, the women were seen.
Yes.
So the situation now is that these women lost their teacher. They lost their friend. They lost the healer. They lost their Jesus of Nazareth, right?
Yes.
He was killed like a criminal. They watched them give him an execution only for rebels and thieves. They watched their innocent Jesus suffer like a criminal on the cross. So can you imagine how these women felt?
Yes.
Now, the women were the last to experience and witness Jesus being put at his last place of rest. So they were there with him at the cross right through, and they were there until everything was over. Right? But who was the first to arrive at the tomb? Was it the 11 remaining disciples? Was it Peter, the outspoken one? Peter was the rock, the one upon whom God said the church would be built?
Yeah.
Or was it James? Was it John? Was it any of these disciples? No. The women were the first to arrive at the tomb.
Yeah.
But why were they going to the tomb, you may ask? They weren't tired. They were there all the way during the journey. They were there right at the cross until the last. They sealed the tomb, and they were there early in the morning. Why were they there? Were they tired? Some might ask the question. Now, the woman had some unfinished business to do.
Yes.
A custom. Anointing the body of Jesus. So, the woman ventured out to give a ceremonial burial to Jesus. So, they were ready to complete their last final act, no matter what the circumstances, right? You know, we as women, we like to put our little, you know, special touch. We like to, you know, extraordinary touch to a situation, right? So just imagine, as you think back, Jesus' brutally tortured body after more than 36 hours of burial would begin to smell. But remember, Nicodemus and what's his name, when they took the body, they had put spice onto the body. They had put all those preservative onto the body. But guess what? The woman didn't matter. They still wanted to go and do their thing. Right? So these women took the risk to go to the tomb early in the morning. But guess what happened? Along the way, they discover some uncertainty along the way. I can guess they're thinking in their mind or saying to themselves, but hold on. Who's going to roll away the stone? Who's going to do that? Now, the highly motivated woman had a hurdle. They did not know how to handle it. But guess what? They were going no matter what. As our sister Judith said, we will not surrender. We're going. The stone going to move. We don't know how the stone going to move, but we went anointing body. We went to do our little, you know, final act of love for our masters, right? I can just imagine when the women of our company gather and we say, wait, we're going to roll the stone. Sister Barbara, you seem stronger, more thing than maybe you could, we could put it before to roll away the stone. I can bet, you know, the little laughter that we would do. Now, let's see what's going to happen now, because now they've had a hurdle because the stone was there. All right? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a little background. So we're going to go in now from fear to courage. We're going to see how the woman moves from fear, a fear mindset, to courage, to a courage mindset. Now, you will ask, what is fear? And I will say to you, based on the dictionary, that fear is a state of being. Fear is based on our perception of a circumstances, which is not always the way it is. Because we think that, hey, oh, I think that is how it is, but then it's not is. Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation of aware of danger. So with fear, oh, this might happen. So we have that unpleasant, strong emotion. Now, when I look at Matthew chapter 28, and let's look at let's first talk about the earthquake. Now, when I think about the earthquake, I don't think the earthquake rolled away the stone. I think it's the rolling away of the stone of the earthquake.
Amen.
Can you imagine how that earthquake is big? I mean, the other day we experienced an earthquake in Jamaica. When you look, everybody was running and running after different things. But guess what? The everlasting Father reached down.
Yes.
Reached down and says, this is my son. Take away the key.
Yes,
roll of the earthquake, the stone roll away. Hallelujah, yes. Hallelujah. So let's yes. look at the fear. So the first fear, verse 4 says, and for fear of him, the keeper did shake and became as dead men.
Yes.
Now, first, the guards were terrified because they didn't know what was going on. So I can just imagine they put the strongest and biggest guard to watch the tomb. Why? Because they said, in case they send the disciples or men to steal the body, we'll be there, the strongest and the biggest of all.
Yes.
Now, pity they knew that the greatest event ever happened in history had happened.
Yes.
Right? So the guards, they experienced terror. Terror. Yes. They were terrified. And yes. now, terror is the feeling of extreme fear. That's why yes. it says they became as dead men. Extreme yes. fear.
Yes.
So when you look at that fear, which is terror, that equals to fear minus faith. They had no mm-hmm. faith. This mm-hmm. happened when we have nothing to turn to but ourselves. Now, the resurrection of Christ is subject of fear to the servants of sin.
Yes.
Why? Because yes. it stands as proof to shame, to their everlasting and shame and contempt. When you look in Luke chapter 22, verse 63 to 65 says, And the men that held Jesus, they mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on his face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemous spake against him. So they were mocking him. They were doing all sorts of things. But guess what? The resurrection of Christ is subject of terror to the servants of sin, all those who were mocking him, because it stands as proof to their shame and everlasting content. So the terror mindset that God had is that all is lost. You know, sometimes, I don't know if anyone on the line, you might find yourself, you know, thinking that all is lost. You don't have to stay in that mindset that all is lost. Accepting the risen Christ can change that mindset. When we look Amen. At Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if there's anyone in that mindset thinking all is lost, call upon the name of the risen Christ and you shall be saved.
Amen.
Like I was looking at a thought that says, the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out, you know?
No.
It was not, because when I read in St. Matthew chapter 20, verse 19 says, and the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples mm-hmm. were assembled for fear of the Jews, came yes. Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be still. All the doors were shut.
Yes.
And he appeared.
Yes.
You understand? So the yes. tomb was not rolled away to let him out. Right?
Yes.
So
yes.
he could pass through any material barrier.
Indeed.
It was rolled away so that others could see in and be persuaded yes. that Jesus Christ was raised yes. from the dead.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, let's look at the woman. So we look at the guards. Let's look at the woman. Because the woman encountered the same thing, the earthquake. And let's look at verse 5 and 6. The angel answered, we're at Matthew 28:5-6. The angel answered and said unto them, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord laid. Now, the women were frightened, but they had a different type of fear. The women were frightened, but they were also filled with great joy.
Yes.
So they experienced wonder, which is a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful. That means, wait, hold on. I wonder if. So their fear was accompanied by, they were filled with joy. Frightened, but filled with joy. Now, the women were prepared to deal with the dead body. Right? Remember, they were going to do their final act. So they were prepared to deal with the dead body. So they prepared for the worst. But something was happening. Something happened that Sunday morning. Something happened. Wondered. Wonder, the mindset equals fear plus hope. They were frightened, but they had hope.
Amen.
This happened. Wonder happened, that mindset, when hope is inserted. So the woman's mindset was, could it be? Could it be? Could it be? We hear him say that he was going to rise again and sing, but could it be? So when they came to the tomb, they were expecting to see the tomb. Instead, they got the message. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
They got the message.
Yeah.
So what? So they had wonder and awe. Could it be?
Wonder.
So here now, I remember, as it talks about wonder or could it be, I remember my mother was sharing with us a story that she was coming from prayer meeting, a group of ladies, one night. And as they were walking along, they were passing some houses, and there was a gentleman in a car, and he was blowing the horn because he needed some help, right? Now, everybody else was walking along, but my mom stopped a little, and she was looking over there. And it's like she was saying, you know, that man looks like he wants some help. He wants somebody to open the gate, because if he come out of the car to open the gate, the car is going to shut off, right? So she said it to the other sisters. And the other sisters said, you crazy? You crazy? Oh, you go over there and say, you want him to harm us and to hurt us? Come on, man. Come on. But as they walk along, she had that mindset. Mm. I wonder if that man needs our help to open the gate. Could it be that if him come out of the car, it went to shut off? And all along, she keep walking, walking, walking. And the spirit was telling her that man needs help. While they were walking, there was a gentleman passing, and the gentleman in the car was still blowing. And he went over there, and all he did was to open the gate for the gentleman, and the gentleman drove in the car.
Yes.
And every time my mother talked about it, she said, oh my God, that was an opportunity that the Lord was telling me. But it's like, I'm like, could it be? I wonder if he really needs, you know? So I say that to say that, you know, sometimes we are stuck in that mindset.
Yes.
When God is helping us, or he's giving us the hope for something to move on, but we stay in that mindset. I wonder if, could it be? And sometimes we never act upon it. But Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And 8:9 says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So, guess what? And now the woman found themselves in a situation because they were, now they are wandering. Wonder, they had fear, but they had hope. So they're saying, could it be? Could it be? Now, let's go down a little further. 28, we're still at Matthew 28. Let's 7 and 8 says, 7 and 8 says, and go quickly.
Yes.
And tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall he see him. And he says, lo, I have told you.
Yes.
And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So they still had fear, but they had great joy.
Yes.
Let's look at the other mindset, because when you're at a mindset where you're wondering and you're saying, could it be, you have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. Right? Now, the woman had a decision to make. They were told to go and tell the disciples what they see. Now, this took courage. You know why it took courage? Because woman was not regarded as reliable that time. Their testimonies. Their testimony meant absolutely nothing in those days.
Yes.
Right? But they were told to go. Now, the woman discovered the empty tomb. Yes, it matters. The woman, they did discover the empty tomb. Now, guess what? The mindset of wonder turns to courage only after a bold step of obedience. So they obeyed because they were going.
Yes.
Romans, let's look at Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Yes.
So it's important to obey. They had a decision to make, and so they had to obey. Now, when did they obey? Once, remember, you know, once they decided to obey God's command for the angel, that's when they finally saw the risen Lord.
Yes, indeed.
That's when they saw him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's when they saw him.
Yes.
It says, verse 9 says, and as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them.
Mm-hmm.
They obeyed the command.
Yes.
And so they saw Jesus. And he came unto them, and they worshiped. And he said unto them, be not afraid.
Yes.
So he said, remember, you know, when the angel told them, they had fear and great joy. Now, they obeyed what the angel said. They met the risen Lord, and the risen Lord said, be not afraid. Take all that fear. Be not afraid. Go.
Yes.
Go and tell them. So, once they decided to obey God's command for the angel, that's when they finally saw the risen Lord.
Yes.
Then they got to hear the words from the mouth of Jesus himself, do not be afraid. Because remember, you know, women's words were not taken as reliable in those days. So when they hear, do not be afraid, their mindset changed from wonder or could it be to courage. Courage. The courage mindset is Jesus over fear. Jesus over fear. The courage mindset is I will go. I will go. So when we met the risen Christ, we have the courage to go and to do all the things he told us to do. When we meet the risen Christ, our fear is transformed into courage. As 2 Timothy 1, Second Timothy 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear,
yes,
but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Yes.
Of a sound mind. So the women were no longer fearful. They were full of courage. They were full of courage. And because of that now, we're going to look at reaffirm. So from fear to courage to reaffirm. Now the women were reaffirmed. When you look at the meaning reaffirm, reaffirm is to make renew again. It's to make renew commitment to something. To state something as true again. That is reaffirm. To state something as true again. Now, the reason why I put reaffirm in this, because in the first century mock women, as I said before, their testimony was never trusting, right? And sometimes when I think back, I think it started from the beginning, Eve. As some people would say, some men would say, Eve, oh my God, Eve messed us up when she, you know, got took the eat of the apple, eat of the tree. She was tricked. But you know, see what happened, brothers and sisters here. You know, see, oh, Jesus, goody man. You know, see, oh, I'm turning the thing around.
Amen.
Now, a woman testimony meant nothing back in those days. But what changed? What changed in the Easter story? We're celebrating Easter. What changed in the Easter story? The Messiah turned the system upside down. Why? Affirming the full dignity of women. Now, so the empty tomb is an epitome of how the woman's story changed the narrative, right? The empty tomb is more about the meaning, not the absence of Jesus' body, no, the meaning of the empty tomb. Something happened on that Sunday morning. Women discover the empty tomb.
Yes.
Amen.
It speaks volume, brothers and sisters, that Jesus chose woman to be the first people to proclaim the resurrection. In other words, women were the first person to ever preach the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The first person to ever preach the gospel.
Yes, yes.
Now let me draw a parallel, right? A straight line beside each other. Now, a parallel between what happened in Genesis, the fall in Genesis with Eve, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, the resurrection reversed the effect of the fall, hallelujah, in Genesis. The fall of man brought pain, sin, and alienation from God. And the resurrection brings forgiveness, joy, and the continuous presence of the risen Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The resurrection reevaluates the role of women, God choosing the weak to shame the strong. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Remember, you know, back in Genesis, Eve was tricked. The enemy tricked her. And all things, because all the pain, all the childbirth, all everything came. But guess what? Jesus Christ, the resurrection came through woman. Go tell. He's risen. He's no longer there.
Hallelujah.
So the risen Lord, it reaffirms woman equality. We are strong. We are born in his image and his likeness, and he created both male and female.
Yes.
Right? So when I look back, I sit and I said, no, the woman, they did not have a clear path for the immediate future because they didn't know what was happening, right? They did not know. They did not know that the Easter story would turn out to be. But guess what? Because when you are motivated, women, when we are motivated with an act of service, Remember, in the beginning, you know, I said to you, they had an urge to cross. Who will roll away the stone? How the stone will move? But you see, when you are motivated with an act of service, the hurdles disappear. The hurdles disappear. And you hear a voice say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It gave them hope and courage. They ran, continuing their mission to inform the disciples, he is risen. He is risen. Now, because of that, woman became the first official appointed evangelist or person to spread the gospel of Jesus.
Okay.
The good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
I am exalting the name of Jesus this morning because, listen, we obeyed. We obeyed. We obeyed. We could stop by and wonder and think, say, no, man, I'm not going to believe our words. But we obeyed. We run. We run with it. And because we run with it, we were able to see the risen Lord. And he said, do not be. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And as I close this morning, I want to say, Jesus' resurrection, his resurrection proves that his death was actually the propitiation of our sins. The Father, and that his Father has accepted it as such. His Father accepted it. No, the cross, the cross that he bared, the cross that he suffered on was the payment. It was the payment of our sins. The resurrection. The resurrection. It was the receipt. It was the receipt. Proving that the payment was fully accepted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like you're going to a business and you go to do some business and you're making a payment. You want your receipt to show proof that you make the payment.
Yes.
You want your receipt by law, because if you go and they say, no, you didn't pay, you can take out your receipt and say, see there, I paid
it. There it is.
Paid in full. I paid it in full. So the cross.
Yes.
The cross was the payment for our sins. The cross was the payment for the fall back in Genesis. The resurrection was the receipt. The receipt proven to us. The payment was fully accepted by the Father. It was
made.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is risen. He is risen. So sisters, the women of our company, I encourage us this morning to go. Slack not our riding.
Hear the word.
We're not surrendering. We are going, and we are telling, we are proclaiming that he is risen, that he's no longer there. He's alive forevermore. We're not going to stuck in those mindsets of wondering terror. Could it be a wonder? No, we're courage. Courage is fear. Courage is Jesus over fear. And Jesus we choose. Jesus we obey. Jesus we look to, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Bless the Lord at all times. Let his praises be continually in our mouth. Hallelujah.
Yes.